Welcome to the CurlyT.com podcast, sponsored by me, myself, and my empty purse.
Well, just looking at my bills, I'm getting upset.
In today's podcast, I'll be talking about three ingredients you can add to improve the feel and the quality of your oil mixes. And in topic two, I'm going to be talking about, does doing natural hair have to take a long time? Like, does it really take 2 hours, 3 hours, however many hours to do natural hair?
One, be informed. Know your subject.
Now, first off, I want to say that there are three ingredients which I have been adding to my most recent hair oil mixes, which have substantially upped the usability and the feel and the positive results I've been getting, particularly for my skin. Now, these ingredients are little extras which help to improve the feel, decrease the time it takes for the oil to actually absorb. The first ingredient in this master list is something called caprylic capric triglycerides. I'll call it CCT for short. So when you hear me say CCT, that means caprylic capric triglyceride.
I'd like to begin with a fact, a simple yet shocking fact.
Now, that ingredient is quickly becoming a powerhouse ingredient for both my DIY mixes and my hair oils. It's a great ingredient. It helps the oil penetrate the surface of the skin and the hair, according to the website truthandaging.com. Does seem like when I use CCT as part of my hair oil mix, I don't get that thing where, you know how you put oil on your body or your hair and it just feels oily and super greasy and feels like it's coating, but not in a good way, you know what I mean? So yeah, I definitely have experienced this increased absorbability. And that's basically the thing that I like most about it. It helps to cut down the super greasy afterfeel left on your hair when you're using regular veggie-based oils. Now, because it is a liquid ingredient that you can readily add into your oil mixes, it allows you to customize the oiliness of your oil mixes. You know, you can add a little to take the oily feeling down just a notch, but you know, if you still like that sheen, that shine, that feel of oily or well-oiled hair, you know what I mean? That substantial feeling, you can customize that. So you can add a little to just take it down a notch, or you can add more of the CCT to take the oily feeling all the way down and increase the absorption speed, you know what I mean? CCT is basically an emollient in the same way that vegetable oils are used, and some people actually use them as a replacement for regular oils. You know, if you don't like olive oil, if you see a recipe and it calls for olive oil, you know you don't like olive oil, and you know that your skin is oily or whatever, you can actually use CCT as a replacement for those regular vegetable-based oils.
That's right.
Now, I wouldn't suggest just pouring out a bunch of CCT in your hands and slathering it all over your body. No, it doesn't feel like that. It doesn't have that same type of vegetable-based oily feeling, you know? But it does add this sort of very silky feeling to my oils, at least. You guys would have to buy it and use it yourself to see what I mean, to feel what I mean. You will definitely feel a difference if you include CCT in your oil mixes.
We're off to a good start this morning, but will it last?
Now let's just get a little technical here for a second.
Let's see if we can explain it.
CCT is the esterification. I hope I'm saying that right, child. The esterification of coconut oil, where you use only the caprylic and the capric fatty acids. That's where you get the caprylic capric triglyceride name. But yeah, it's the esterification of coconut oil, at least according to the website ingredientstodiefor.com, which is where I get a lot of my DIY ingredients, by the way. And basically, I just want to say, There's been a little confusion about CCT and fractionated coconut oil. Now, those two things are not the same. Like, if you're looking for CCT, you have to make sure that the supplier knows the difference between CCT and fractionated coconut oil. Because there have been some reports that some suppliers have mistakenly sold fractionated coconut oil labeled as caprylic capric triglycerides, and those two are not the same. Because fractionated coconut oil is the distillation of coconut oil, which is different than the esterification of coconut oil. Have I lost you already?
Yes, I can see it all now.
But yeah, I mean, it's don't get intimidated or anything. Don't get confused or anything. Just make sure you have a decent supplier and that they know the difference between fractionated coconut oil and caprylic capric triglycerides, because those two things are different. They just are. And like I said, if you are a person with oily skin or oily hair and you see a great recipe that you want to try out, but it calls for all of these oils and stuff, and you know that your face will not appreciate all of that oil, you can actually try to make the recipe and then substitute some of the oil portion or all of the oil portion with CCT. So like if you see a recipe that's like 70% aloe vera juice and, you know, 25% oils and then your emulsifier and your preservative, you can actually substitute that 20% of oils with CCT. Try it, see if you like it, because there's no regular veggie-based oil in it. It shouldn't leave your face oily, but it should help to moisturize it, keep it supple and soft, hopefully, if you use the right emulsifier. But yeah, you don't, with CCT, you don't have to shy away from recipes that you've seen online that require a bunch of oils that you know your face cannot tolerate, or your skin cannot tolerate, or your hair can't tolerate. But that's not the only use for caprylic capric triglycerides. It's actually used as a dispersing agent and a pigment wetter for other ingredients like allantoin, MSM, Veggie Moist, those powder ingredients that you want to incorporate into your DIY mix. And CCT is oil soluble, which means you can use it and you don't have to worry about it separating or, you know, causing this little weirdness when you apply it, when you add it to your oil mixes. I know that some people try to use the ingredient Nature Silk, because I use that a lot in a lot of my mixes, and a lot of, well, not a lot, but some DIYers contacted me saying that when they add the Nature Silk to their oil mixes, it separates this little, it creates this little separation. And what Nature Silk is water soluble. So you wouldn't add Nature Silk into an oil mix, because it will create that little weirdness, that little weird feeling and the little separation.
It seems easy, doesn't it? But it's not as easy as it looks.
What you want to add to the oil mix is CCT, not Nature Silk, for those who are wondering. And if those weren't wonderful enough reasons for you to use CCT, it's also super stable. You know what I mean? It reportedly has an indefinite shelf life, meaning you could add it to your oil mixes and it will actually help increase the length of time your oils will take before they go rancid. And a lot of people don't know this. Vegetable-based oils will go rancid. Yes, they will, given enough time. That includes olive oil, that includes safflower oil, sunflower oil, avocado oil. All of these oils, they don't last forever. But what you can do, you can add extra ingredients like CCT to sort of push off, to stave off the oxidation, to stave off the rancidity, to stave off the oils going bad. And because of this awesome, awesome stability, it's often found in quite a lot of products, like in everything from lipsticks and sunscreens to, you know, conditioners and skin creams. Oh, and speaking of conditioners, if you used to use the old formula of Tresemme Naturals, you know, the one before Unilever bought them out. If you used to use the old formula of Tresemme Naturals, go back, if you do have the bottles left, go back and look at the ingredients list on the old bottles. The caprylic capric triglycerides used to be the second ingredient.
That's right.
in the old formula of Tresemme Naturals. That's why when you would use it, it would seem to absorb quickly and soften your hair. It didn't just sit on top of the hair like so many thick conditioners whose, you know, second and third ingredients are thickeners, basically. But yeah, I do have the old formula of Tresemme Naturals, and the second ingredient is caprylic capric triglycerides. Now, it's normally in the top 5 ingredients list of other, you know, natural high-ranking conditioners like the Avalon Organics and the Hugo Naturals. You'll find CCT high on the list. I don't know why more people who make conditioners don't use it in a higher amount. I don't know why that is. Maybe because it's more expensive than other ingredients they're using. Whatever the situation is, CCT is a very good ingredient, not only for conditioners, like I just said, but for your oil mixes. So definitely try it out, see how you like it. Use it to customize the feel of your oil mixes. You know, you can make your oil mix one time and use, I don't know, 5% CCT and see how you like it. If you think you're still too greasy, up that amount to 6, 7, 8% and see how you like it. And the next time you make it, you'll have a basis, a percentage that makes you feel comfortable and that improves the feel of your oil mix.
We're off to a good start this morning, but will it last?
Now, the next ingredient that is great to add to your DIY mixes is called olive squalane. It has a regenerative effect on the skin, according to reports. That means, like, it's said to help heal, you know, chapped and cracked skin.
Look at your skin through a magnifying glass. It looks like it's full of tiny holes, doesn't it?
Do you know what I mean? Like, if your skin has serious dryness issues, that would be, olive squalane would be one ingredient that you may want to consider seriously adding to your oil mixes. Now, I do have olive squalane as part of my current hair and skin oil mix. And the information that you can find about olive squalane online, it's said to be just incredibly good at penetrating the skin, which, you know, I guess is why it helps to heal and sort of prevent some forms of damage to it. You know, like CCT, the caprylic capric triglyceride, it's super stable and sort of helps to delay oxidation and rancidity, like you add it to your oils, and it helps to, like I said, stave off the oil turning bad. Now, what's different between CCT and olive squalane is that the olive squalane is said to carry the ingredients down into the deeper tissues of the skin, the deeper layers of the skin.
But did you know that you really have two skins?
So, like, you would have, you know, olive squalane, and then you have, like, other ingredients that really help your skin. And so they can, like, sort of piggyback off of olive squalane down into the deeper layers of your skin. And I guess that's how it helps to regenerate your skin. Improve your skin, heal your skin, you know?
You and I have a coat of armor that protects our bodies from the outside world.
And again, with this one, to get technical, olive squalane is, if I can remember the term, I think they called it a botanical lipid. I think that's what they call it. Olive squalane is a botanical lipid, which is very close to human lipids in structure, they say. So if you really wanted to get really, really, really good results from your skin treatments or whatever, you'd add olive squalane as one of the ingredients. So say if you made an oil treatment with black seed oil, neem oil, you know, Tamanu oil, sea buckthorn oil, throw in a little caprylic capric triglycerides, and then olive squalane.
The design is complete. But will it work?
You would have something that you may actually love, and it may be a great mix for you, and actually may improve the texture or the quality or the feel or the softness of your skin. You know, as with anything, don't take my word for it. Try it out. See it for yourself. You may not like it. You may love it. You know, it's something that you would have to try on your body yourself. And I'm going to say this about olive squalane, and I do not want to deter you from trying it out. But what puts off a lot of people from trying the olive squalane is definitely the price. Now, it is not a cheap ingredient. It is not a cheap filler ingredient. You can't get it for $5 and, you know, use a bunch of it. No. It's even more expensive than some of the higher quality oils I've bought. Like, for example, 16 ounces of olive squalane can cost you more than $50.
I don't like the look of it.
So, yeah, if you are the type of person who likes to get a lot of products for a cheaper price, this may put you off a little bit. Or you may save up and you may get like an ounce or a 4-ounce bottle and then use that sparingly in your mixes to try to see if you can feel the results of it. But definitely, if you want to make a very penetrating type of hair oil mix, this definitely, olive squalane will definitely be one of the ingredients I would recommend if it's not too expensive for your budget. And you know, quite honestly, because it's so expensive, I don't do a lot of experimentation with this ingredient, you know what I mean? Because if I don't like whatever I'm making and I add olive squalane in it, I have essentially wasted that expensive olive squalane. So I tend to only add it to recipes that I really, really like and stuff that I'm really, really gonna use. Stuff that I've already tested and experimented with and got my recipe exactly how I want it. But definitely for oil mixes, you will probably always use all of your oil mix if you make it. So you can definitely add olive squalane to oil mixes and see how you like it. See if it improves your skin. See if you can't feel a difference. You know what I mean? But you don't have to use a lot. You can use it in drops, like, you know, 10 drops, 15 drops, 30 drops. You know, I tend to use it the way I would use neem oil or black seed oil. Like, I use them in drops. I don't just pour a whole bunch in there. But yeah, that's the second ingredient that you guys may want to try out. Add to your oil mixes, see if it helps, see if it doesn't, see if it improves your skin. And if it does, congratulations, you found another great ingredient.
You are listening to the CurlyT.com podcast. Please enjoy this short music break. Don't forget you can add your blog posts, opinions, recipes, and links to your business and social media websites by signing up and becoming a subscriber at CurlyT.com. You are listening to the CurlyT.com podcast. Please enjoy this short music break. Click the subscribe button at the top during this podcast break. Go ahead and become a subscriber at CurlyT.com. You are listening to the CurlyT.com podcast. Please enjoy this short music break. Sway. so keep listening for more information.
Here it is at last.
Now, the third ingredient that you might want to add to your hair oil mix is to add oomph to the feel of the mix is something called vitamin E MT50. Now, this is not regular vitamin E, so don't get those two confused. The MT in vitamin E MT50 stands for mixed tocopherols. Y'all know how we are on these words, okay? I see tocopherols. Now, you may see it as something else. It's tocopherols. Anyway, that's what the MT stands for. Now, the 50 denotes the 50% of active blend of natural tocopherols. So you look for vitamin E MT50 because they'll have the D alpha, D beta, D gamma, and the last one. What's the last one? D delta. So those are what you're looking for when you're looking for vitamin E. Look for natural tocopherols, D alpha, D beta, D gamma, and D delta. And what vitamin E MT50 does is to really, really seriously stave off oxidation and rancidity of your oil. There are some suppliers that even recommend that you add vitamin E MT50 to the oils, the vegetable oils that you buy, to help increase the shelf life, to help keep them from going rancid. Now, these are oils that you would be using as a cosmetic use, not the oils that you're gonna cook with, not those. But definitely if you're going to buy like a bunch of oils, like a big thing of sesame oil to use it for your hair, or you know, two or three bottles of, I don't know, hemp seed oil or wheat germ oil, definitely add some vitamin E MT50 to help improve the shelf life. Now, it won't make it last for a million years, but it will definitely increase the shelf life.
Yes, I can see it all now.
Now, you heard me talking about the natural tocopherols. The D alpha, D beta, blah blah blah. Now, according to ingredientstodiefor.com, the gamma tocopherol is what provides the highest antioxidant activity and protection for your skin. That's the D gamma for your skin. Like, everybody's talking about antioxidants, and you know, we use teas and herbs and stuff because they're high in antioxidant activity. They are antibacterial and all of these other great things to help protect, strengthen, smooth, improve your skin and your hair. But definitely people use the vitamin E MT50 because it is so good at its antioxidant activity.
But it must be true. I saw it in this book right here.
And if that weren't good enough for you, it only takes a very, very small amount a vitamin E MT50 to do what it's supposed to do, which I like. I'm sure people who, you know, like to buy a bunch of different ingredients like when things work and you don't need a bunch of it in order for it to work. Again, a very, very tiny amount. I think like 0.02%. Like, you can put 0.02% of vitamin E MT50 into your oil mix, and it'll actually extend the shelf life of your oils by a whole 6 months. Now, this is according to, again, ingredientstodiefor.com, which is where I get, like I said, where I get a lot of my DIY ingredients. And the usage rate of vitamin E MT50 is normally very low. Like, you can use less than 1% of this stuff and still have it do what it's supposed to do. And you don't have to just only use it in oil mixes. You can use it in your hair conditioners. You can use it in your leave-ins. You can use it in your treatments, your salves, your homemade gels, you know, whatever, stuff like that, your whipped butters and other skin type creams. So just remember, a very, very, very small amount goes a long way. Like, you would not use vitamin E MT50 the way you would pour in olive oil into a whipped butter. No, that's too much. No, it only requires a very, very small amount. So yeah, vitamin E MT50 is a very good ingredient to have around. And for those who are actually looking for it, that's vitamin E, the letter M, the letter T, EMT50. That's vitamin EMT50. And someone asked me just recently, how long does it take for me to do my hair? And this is a question that comes up a lot. I see on Facebook and online, you know, online areas. And people want to know, why does it take so long to do natural hair? And especially the newly natural people. And child, my blunt response is that, you know, doing your hair will take only as long as you let it.
Bear this in mind.
Now, when I say that, I'm sure people will disagree. I'm sure they'll be all, girl, you don't know. I have to do this, and I have to do that, and I have to do this, that, and third.
Then how dare you question the fact?
Well, let me tell you something. For me, doing my natural hair takes only as long as I want it. It could be as long or as short as I want it to take. Because, you know, there are some serious things going on here. The time you spend on your hair, for me, really depends on preparation. You know what I mean? Do you have your products ready to go? Or do for each thing that you want to do, do you have to go digging for this specific product that does this or this specific DIY cream that does that? I know I'm having my stuff ready to go. I've already mapped out what I want to do. Do I want to deep condition or not? What products I want to use for this, that, and the other? And so I already have my stuff ready to go.
What I say goes, see? I'm the law around here.
Now, if you haven't detangled your hair, that can increase the time that it'll take for you to do your hair. So, I mean, if you are the type of person that doesn't just want to pull out all of your hair and you want to take your time detangling, that will add extra time to the, you know, full time that is required for you to style your hair the way you want it to look. So do you have the correct products to detangle your hair? Are you using a product that makes your hair more tangled or more dry or more prone to breakage? Because that will add to the full amount of time it's going to take for you to do your hair. And if you are a DIY girl like I am, have you created the right products for your hair? You know what I mean? If you create products, if you create shampoo for your hair, was that the right, or are those the right ingredients for you to use? Are they drying out your hair, essentially making it more tangled and harder to get through, which all of that contributes to the time it'll take to care for and finish styling your hair? Have you created the correct products to style your hair the way you want it to be styled? Like, I mean, there's nothing worse than creating a product and maybe it makes your hair soft, but it has absolutely no hold. And so you have to dig through your commercial products to find a gel or whatever that'll help you style your hair the way you want it to be styled. You know, are you using a mud wash to wash your hair? Because that too can increase the time it'll take to completely to completely finish doing your hair. And muds are messy. They can be messy depending on the viscosity of the mud wash you're using. They can be messy. They can take a lot longer because you have to leave them on your hair longer than you would a regular shampoo or a regular DIY shampoo made from Castile soap or something. So all of this stuff contributes to the length of time it'll take for you to do your natural hair, girl. And those are not the only things. Your hair length and your hair type can also increase the time it'll take for you to finish doing your hair. The longer your hair is, the longer it is, you know, the longer it's gonna take. And sometimes if your hair is a specific type, now y'all know I hate hair typing. I just can't stand it.
There must be something better. Why can't we have it?
But I need to give y'all a, you know, something to go by. So if you have 4B and 4C hair and it's tangled and needs to be detangled by you, then it's going to take you longer to do your natural hair. If you have 3A hair and it's smooth and untangled, then it's not going to take you as long, okay? Now that also works in the reverse. So if you have 4B hair that is already untangled and you can just go through it like that, then it won't take as long for you to do your hair than somebody with, you know, 3A curls and it's all tangled and matted and everything. So all of this stuff contributes to the length of time it takes for you to do your hair. That's why there is no set answer. How long does it take for you to do your hair? Well, it depends on what I'm doing to it.
If you are not ready and did not know what to do, it could hurt you in different ways.
Quite honestly, to be blunt about it, I don't want to sound mean or ornery, or I don't want to be, you know, I don't want somebody to say I'm popping an attitude with them about it. But yeah, it literally depends on what I'm doing to it and the way I want to style it. Oh, and if that wasn't enough, your personal preferences, you know what I mean? The number of steps you've chosen to take to wash and condition your hair also increases that length of time, you know? Do you deep condition it every time you wash? Because that will take longer, because you need to let the deep conditioner sit on your hair for 30 minutes, 45 minutes, an hour and a half, 2 hours, however long you let it go. You don't have to do that. You choose to do that. And so it'll take longer for you to do your hair. You know, a lot of naturals test out new products when they're doing their hair. You know what I mean? There's this new Shea Moisture thing that you want to test, and you're reading instructions, you're trying to follow what they're saying, you're trying to integrate it into your current routine, and all of this increases the time it takes for you to do your hair. That also works if you're testing out a new DIY mix, something that you have created with your own hands. You want to use it and incorporate it into your routine, and so you have to figure out how you want to add it. Do you want to use it as a pre-poo, or do you want to use it after your leave-in conditioner? And that's another thing that will require you to, you know, put it all throughout your hair, and that again takes more time. Are you co-washing or shampooing? Like most people, if they're shampooing, then they also have to use an additional step of another rinse out conditioner, or most people do that. So that's another step. If you're shampooing, then you oftentimes have to condition afterwards. But if you are co-washing, it's just co-washing. You just co-wash that once and then put in your leave-in and go from there. You know what I mean? Are you coloring your hair or applying a rinse or doing an Ayurvedic treatment, an Indian hair treatment? All of this stuff adds more time to the time it'll take to fully care for your hair. So you don't have to really do a whole bunch if you don't want to.
That's right.
So that's why I say, it doesn't necessarily take a long time to do natural hair. It really, really, seriously is dependent on what you decide to do to it. If you are applying a treatment, if you're doing a mud wash, if you're deep conditioning, if you're testing out new products, if you are co-washing versus shampooing, all of that stuff, y'all, all of it is a choice. And so don't tell me that it takes a long time to do natural hair, because it takes me as long as I feel like it taking me.
Girls should wash their hair at least once every 2 weeks.
I can co-wash, apply grease or not petroleum grease, of course. It'll be one of the Sarah Bellina based greases, unpetroleum greases that I make. But I can apply that to my scalp, put in a leave-in conditioner, twist it up, and I'm through.
That's right.
Like for real, for real. Or I can want my hair to be a lot squeakier, a lot cleaner. So I'll use a shampoo, a rinse out conditioner. And if I want to deep condition, I'll deep condition for 45 minutes, an hour and a half. Or I'll use that time to do an amla treatment or another type of Ayurvedic treatment. And then I'll try to apply something directly to my scalp, and then a leave-in conditioner, and then probably a gel, and then twist it up. So it depends on what I want the finished results to be and whether or not I have my game plan set. So I mean, it don't tell me. I will never agree that it absolutely 100% takes a long time to do natural hair.
That's the silliest opinion I've ever heard.
No, I will never agree with that. Especially somebody who used to be relaxed, like, you know, a lot of other naturals. I used to be relaxed, and so, you know, I remember spending 2, 3, 4 hours at the salon from start to finish. And that includes all the time you have to wait for the person to finish up another client. And then sometimes you get there and then you have to wait half an hour, 45 minutes before you even get in the chair. So, I mean, don't tell me that you can't use that same amount of time or less amount of time to care for your own hair, girl. You might not want to, and that's completely fine. That is your decision. You grown. But no, there is no absolutely positively 100% notion that it takes a long time for you to do natural hair. No, it takes as long or as short as you want it to be. Yeah. And don't be getting no attitude with me about my own opinion.
Young people cannot be trusted to form their own opinion.
If you don't agree, that's fine. But I'm telling you that you ain't gonna tell me that it takes me a long time to do my hair if I don't want it to take a long time to do my hair. My shoulder length, wiry 4B hair. Okay, y'all. Thank you for listening to this podcast. You can find us at curlytea.com. That's where the home base is. That's where you will get the most up-to-date information about what I'm working on, the latest recipes, the latest addition to the ingredients list, all of that great stuff. We'll be at the website before it's anywhere else. curlytea.com. And if you want to follow us on Twitter, it's Curly T Consult. That's one word, Curly T Consult. Facebook, it's just Curly T. Tumblr, it's curlytea.tumblr.com. Pinterest is Curly T. Instagram, Curly T Consult. Again, one word, Curly T Consult on Instagram. So yeah, if you want to find Curly T on social media, you can. And again, thank you guys for listening. Have a great day or night or whenever you're listening to this podcast. Bye, y'all.
Don't forget you can add your blog posts, opinions, recipes, and links to your business and social media websites by signing up and becoming a subscriber at curlytea.com.